ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled nicely in the 33rd degree Masonic Hills of Sicily, which incidentally was where the Mafia was started by a whole group of psychopathic motherfuckers who want to kidnap children and rape them and stuff like that and get away with importing cocaine. And my former special guests are Thomas Sheridan from ThomasSheridanArts.com and Jay Widener, which is not a marijuana device. Welcome back.
I was having a thought over the show. Humor. Is that something that psychopaths like? Are there any psychopathic comedians?
Well, I don't know about that, but laughing and satire is the best way to get back at them, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like Jay was saying, that their ego is really big. Right? They love having their little entourages, and they look like they're bling, and a sort of, like, intellectual and spiritual narcissisms. But if you can take them down with humor, it absolutely will have them running around with steam flying out of their ears. And so it's very important.
That's probably not a good idea then, bro.
Well, make sure you're not in the same room with them. Don't do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, about 15 years ago, I was a member of a group that were writing satire to take down the troubles in Northern Ireland between the Catholics and the Protestants. And we were ripping the piss out of both of them. And it was brilliant. And, like, to the point where we actually believe it influenced actual policy there, because they could not do or say anything without us making, and these guys are all psychopaths, without us, like, bringing them down. And we did it with a racist group as well. It is so important, because it's like in so many of late ancient literature and sort of like mythology, particularly in the Orient, there's even a Buddhist tradition of laughing at demons and mocking them and laughing them to get rid of them. So it's something we've always had. It's something we've always used. And you'll find that their idea of humor, it's really stupid. It's not very clever. They don't understand or get complex satire. They don't get the context of it. Their understanding of humor is very like, that's why so much Hollywood film comedy is crap. Half of them are producer psychopaths, and they wouldn't know a good joke if they saw one. So yeah, psychopathic comedians, I don't think, maybe, I guess they could be, but they wouldn't be very good.
Well, the humor would be extremely cruel, probably.
Yeah, bullying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, psychopaths are bullies, for sure. That's another point that has to be put out here. But there's something else that needs to be pointed out, and that is that psychopaths love the centralization of power. That is, every time you see a group advocating for more centralized power, you can bet there's a psychopath at the center of that group, because that's how they can control things. If they have a centralized power, then the psychopaths are in complete control. And I believe that Marxism and communism, I believe it not only was it thought up by a psychopath, but I believe that every single Marxist leftist leader is and has been a psychopath, with maybe the exception of Morales in Bolivia, but the jury's still out on him. So anybody that's looking to is advocating for the centralization of power, whether it be in the healthcare or wherever, you can bet the psychopaths are behind it.
Yeah, Marxism is the most psychopathic system ever created.
Yep.
In fact, even sort of like Marxist intellectuals who actually didn't get to run countries, some of the statements have been appalling. Like, you know, in Ireland here, George Bernard Shaw saying that people had to be, you know, humanely murdered if they didn't go along with the socialist system. And you had people, other Fabian Society ones like H.G. Wells talking about using a gas of peace to gas the citizens who would not go along with the socialist system. And Marxism was actually created by a whole bunch of aristocratic psychopaths. That's the amazing thing about it.
Yep.
It was created by, you know, fellows who lived in stately homes, super rich guys who had servants and had mansions, but they didn't develop socialism as a means to make life better for the poor. Because for years I used to believe that that's what it was. It wasn't until I actually started reading their documents. It was the aristocrats, the psychopathic elite, created socialism so the poor wouldn't bother them every so often by having revolutions. That's why they did it. It wasn't out of goodness of their hearts.
You know,
in terms.
Go ahead.
In terms of identification, I was thinking, as you're saying, you know, you want to integrate the map with the beasts that you stay away from, forbidden zones, and so on and so forth. I was thinking about two methodologies here. One being an identification bullet point methodology. Does this person live in a massive home? Yes. Does he have masses of servants? Yes. Is he a known liar? Yes. Does he crave centralization of power? Yes. Is it so on and so forth? You know, your bullet points of all of these possible things, so you can have a psychopath in your life, and then you think to yourself, maybe that person's a psychopath. I'm going to go to psychopathbulletpoint.com and go through all these and go through the checklist, and let's say there's a rating system, so let's say there's 50 symptoms, and if they get over 25 of them, then they're definitely a psychopath. If they get 10 of them or less, they're probably just a bit of a douchebag, and there's nothing that wrong with them. Something of that nature. And the other one was a psychopath identification list, whereby you will have a number of experts on psychopathy review people who have been reportedly or purportedly known for psychopathic behavior, and then do an in-depth analysis of these people as to whether or not they make the list. So you can have lists in certain areas. You can have the corporate list, so you'd have people in certain corporations that would make the list. You could have the truther list, you know, a whole bunch of different people in the truth movement who are psychopaths. They can make the list, so on and so forth. So at that point in time, there would be a number of people who might encounter these sorts of people, and once you make the list, hey mate, you're outed.
Yeah, you know, that could get a little dangerous in that innocent people might get scooped up in this thing. We got to be careful. We also have to be careful that psychopaths will turn all of this around on us, because remember, if you're not a psycho, this is the number one rule that everyone has to remember. If you're not a psychopath, you cannot possibly think like a psychopath, so therefore you can never predict what they're going to do. That's the problem with psychopaths. That's why you have to get away from them, because you could have a very dangerous situation and not realize it. I wanted to touch on something that Thomas was talking about too, which is George Bernard Shaw. George Bernard Shaw is he's one of the greatest playwrights that ever lived, and he's this great guy, right? Well, actually, I did an analysis of one of his plays, a play that I actually was in college, and I only recently did an analysis of this play, and it's called Major Barbara, and it's truly the most psychopathic thing I've ever read. And basically, Major Barbara is a woman who works for Salvation Army helping the poor, and she's instructed on how what she's doing helping the poor is so bad. This is the whole gist of the play, why it's such a bad thing to help the poor people, that it's implied that it's just better to let them rot and die. And this guy, you know, is considered to be one of the greatest playwrights of the early 20th century. It's astonishing when you start reading his plays and you realize what an outright psychopath George Bernard Shaw was.
Yeah, he and nobody really liked him except the British royalty. That's
yeah,
another thing.
I believe it.
Anything nice to say about him?
Are they capable of recognizing each other if they don't know each other?
Yeah,
like, as psychopaths.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
that happens.
So it's like a hive mind.
It's like, you know, the way, I'm not putting down gay people. You know, where gay guys can tell you they have a gaydar, and they can recognize a gay guy on the other side of the street.
Yep.
In a crowded street. It's the same thing with them. They have the same kind of thing going on. Like, that happened. That was one of the first things I ever learned when this guy admitted to me in Wall Street back in 1994, I think it was, that he was a clinically diagnosed psychopath. Well, I said to him, can you tell others in the office building who are? And he says, yeah, hit this guy, that guy, this guy. And sure enough, they were the ones that gave me the creeps, or the ones that were incredibly glib and superficial. And so that was one of the first educations I got in the whole thing. Yet they do, but they don't work together. Well, they will coagulate on a common goal, but ultimately they're looking for ways to stab each other in the back. Like, no psychopath will bond with another psychopath for a common cause. They will just use them as a sort of a super enabler, but they'll cut their throats as well as soon, you know, if they can.
Can I ask then, if that is the case, do they ever? What was I going to say? Do they don't work together in that case? Do they hate each other? And more to the point, would there ever be? You know how there's a term turncoat, where one will break away from the entirety of their system and change sides. They would never do such a thing, would they? Because only somebody who actually cares about the greater good would use their psychopathy to identify other psychopaths and let people know.
Oh, I think they would probably identify an enemy who is a psychopath because they don't have any scruples. So I always say that this world is going to end when the two most powerful psychopaths go at each other. And that's how this thing is going to come to an end unless we do something about it now. Because it's an inevitability that we're going to get two psychopaths who are going to hate each other and they're going to bring all of us down.
Well, this is what's problematic about it, because as we're saying, we can't put out a list identifying them, because whoever puts out that list is fish food, really. You can't put out a list of which people are psychopaths, because the exact same thing would happen, and you can't tell people which psychopath to avoid, because the psychopath will find out that you're telling people to avoid them, and they'll come after you.
But they're mostly cowards, don't forget.
They're bullies and cowards, like all bullies.
Yep.
But they, you know, what Jay was saying there about the two psychopaths, the two scorpions in the bottle at the end of the day, that's their kind of evolutionary drive, if you want to bring it down to those kinds of terms. But ultimately, the thing is that they would have to step over everybody else on Earth to get to that point. So they would have a long way to get that way. But believe me, they've come close a few times. They most certainly have. I'm really terrified of Hillary Clinton becoming president of the United States. Mm. I think we'd have a sort of like a perfect storm situation there, because she's absolutely psychopathic in the extreme.
Okay. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break.